From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Millions of Americans use dietary supplements containing ephedra to lose weight, build muscle, and boost energy. That's despite reports of deaths and injuries related to ephedra, including the recent death of Baltimore Orioles pitcher Steve Beckler. The Justice Department is investigating whether Metabolife, the largest maker of ephedra, suppressed data about harmful effects. The Food and Drug Administration, meanwhile, has yet to ban the substance. Some say that's due to the industry's powerful lobbyists. One day this spring, NPR's Snigdha Prakash followed ephedra supporters as they worked to protect their humble herb.
It's National Nutrition Day. That's not a day that means much to the average eater, but it's a big deal to these people. They belong to the National Nutritional Foods Association. They make and sell vitamins, minerals, and dietary supplements, including ephedra supplements. And every year on National Nutrition Day, they converge on the halls of Congress to meet with senators and congressmen. David Sekman is CEO of the group.
All our members throughout the entire country come and make our elected officials aware of the value and the benefits of dietary supplements and natural products on the healthcare industry and all the consumers in the country.
After lobbying all day, the group is celebrating. They're doing it in an unlikely location, a congressional hearing room in the Rayburn House Office Building on Capitol Hill.
White wine, sir.
Thank you very much.
The vast hearing room of the House Committee on Government Reform has been transformed for this occasion. The mahogany witness tables have disappeared under white cloths and food. Some of the guests are eating and drinking on the dais where the congressmen they lobbied today usually sit. David Sekman says his group lobbied lawmakers today about a law called the Dietary Supplements Health and Education Act. It was passed in 1994. Now there's talk of changing it.
Probably most importantly, we were working on making sure that that act was in place and not amended so we, as consumers, could all have our rights to have vitamins, minerals, and dietary supplement products.
Any changes to the Dietary Supplements Health and Education Act aren't likely to affect whether Americans can buy their daily vitamins or minerals. But if the Dietary Supplements Act is changed, Americans could have a harder time buying herbal stimulants, such as ephedra supplements. Over the next 2 hours, these partygoers will continue the day's work of marshalling congressional support for the act to make sure that that doesn't happen. One person they won't win over is Senator Richard Durbin. He's an Illinois Democrat who wants ephedra banned. Durbin says the Dietary Supplements Act is fatally flawed because under the law, all dietary supplements are presumed to be safe.
It is a law which basically says that the producers of these supplements can put anything on the shelf, claim any health purpose for it, and it's up to the government to prove that it's unsafe.
Durbin says the government can't test every dietary supplement to make sure it's safe.
So who tests it? American consumers test it. They take ephedra products until they have heart attacks and strokes and seizures and die, and they are the guinea pigs.
The presumption of safety that dietary supplements enjoy is in stark contrast to the way drugs are regulated. The Food and Drug Administration requires drug makers to prove that their drugs are safe and effective before it allows drug makers to sell the drugs. Durbin has introduced a bill that would change the way some dietary supplements, including those containing ephedra, are regulated, so that ephedra makers would have to prove their products are safe. Durbin believes they wouldn't be able to do that, and ephedra supplements would be banned. But getting Durbin's bill past the ephedra lobby, which was working Capitol Hill today, won't be easy. Long before Steve Beckler died, two commissioners of the FDA tried to regulate the ephedra industry and failed. The first was Dr. David Kessler. It was 1996.
I remember I was sitting in my office and I got a phone call from a Tufts University professor of clinical pharmacology. And he told me the story of a 24-year-old graduate student who was found dead in his apartment. And there was no explanation.
The professor was calling Kessler with a hypothesis. He believed the student had died from taking some of the ephedra pills that were found in the student's apartment. The professor was right, and Kessler had one of the first proven cases of death by ephedra on his hands. But he says he found there wasn't much he could do about it.
I still remember I brought the agency investigators together, the agency regulators, the lawyers together, and I asked, what could we do? And the fact was that before the 94 law that regulated dietary supplements, we would have had a very easy path. We could say that ephedra is a drug. The safety of the drug has not been established. We could have removed it from the market.
But with the 1994 law in place, Kessler says, if he tried to ban ephedra, he would almost certainly have lost to the ephedra industry in court. By 1997, the FDA settled on a modest proposal. It asked ephedra manufacturers to put a smaller recommended dose on its labels and to add a warning on the label about the dangers of taking too much ephedra or taking it for too long. The industry balked. By the year 2000, the FDA had withdrawn the proposal under attack from ephedra distributors and manufacturers and powerful members of Congress. They were backed up by the General Accounting Office, which said the FDA hadn't used scientific standards to set its lower recommended dose. Almost immediately, the FDA tried again to regulate ephedra supplements. This time, it tried to ban them. Dr. Jane Haney had succeeded David Kessler as commissioner of the FDA.
What we saw in the data was that people were taking different doses of the product. It didn't seem to matter whether you were on a very low dose or high dose, whether you were young and healthy. Almost without a warning, this product could be a cause for concern. And the risk could be severe, anywhere from heart attacks to strokes to death.
Haney says she went to her boss, Health and Human Services Secretary Donna Shalala. She told Shalala that the data now justified a complete ban on ephedra sales. Shalala punted. She asked the Office of the Surgeon General to study the issue. That office recommended more research. Shalala wouldn't speak to NPR, but former FDA Commissioner David Kessler says the effort to ban ephedra failed, not because there wasn't enough science, but because there was too much politics.
There were people who didn't want to pick a fight with the dietary supplement industry. They had seen them as being so powerful. And I think there was not the willingness to stand up as much as perhaps there should have been.
The ephedra industry's perceived power stems in part from the company it's able to keep.
I know it's hard to get everyone's attention.
Back on Capitol Hill, the reception is in full swing, and the industry's congressional friends are stopping by.
And you know, without further ado, it is always an absolute pleasure to have Tom Harkin here. Senator Harkin.
Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin is the co-author of the Dietary Supplements Act. After a day in the Senate, his suit has crumpled, but his spirits are high.
You keep that.
He beams as he accepts a thick plexiglass plaque. It's a Congressional Champion Award. When he speaks to the crowd, Senator Harkin shows why he deserves the award as he defends the group's number one priority, the Dietary Supplements Health and Education Act, also known as DSHEA.
I'll tell you, what needs to be changed is not DSHEA. What needs to be changed is the attitude of the personnel in the Food and Drug Administration.
Utah Republican Orrin Hatch is the other author of the Dietary Supplements Act. Hatch and Harkin maintain that their law gives the FDA all the power it needs to regulate ephedra. They say the problem is the agency just hasn't implemented the law. Both Harkin and Hatch have received big political contributions from the dietary supplements industry, and ephedra manufacturers in particular, and they aren't alone. The industry has contributed generously to both political parties. That money has bought a lot of goodwill on Capitol Hill, as Senator Richard Durbin learned when he announced a hearing last year on the dangers of ephedra.
Colleagues of mine in the Senate from both parties came to me and said, you can't do this. This is not in your jurisdiction. You ought to stay away from it. Then they'd pull me over to the side and say quietly, this industry is a big supporter. They help us. A lot of their people are big Democrats, and, you know, you ought to think twice about this. And I thought to myself, this is unbelievable.
How are you, Senator? Good seeing you, buddy. You got another one of those awards.
You too.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
Harkin has finished his speech. He's clutching his award and sharing a collegial moment with another big supporter of the ephedra lobby, Representative Dan Burton. The Indiana Republican is here to get his Congressional Champion Award. The senator glances at a reporter's microphone as he whispers to Congressman Burton. He says Senators John McCain and Ernest Hollings are, quote, going after the 1994 law.
Oh, going after the sheriff. Oh, God.
He says they want to open it up and change it.
Have you talked to Orrin about that, too?
Congressman Burton exclaims, oh, God, have you talked to Orrin about that? Senator Harkin replies, Orrin Hatch is on it. Senator Harkin and Congressman Burton then part, and they agree to work together.
You're a fighter. I'm not
sure you.
See you later.
It won't be easy to get changes to the 1994 law past these warriors. Of course, the administration could try to ban ephedra under the existing law. Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson is said to favor a ban, but some in the White House oppose it. That hurdle could be impossible to overcome. It was in Texas in the late 1990s when President Bush was Governor Bush and his health department proposed an ephedra ban. Texas Health Commissioner Rain Archer supported the ban, then reversed himself, allegedly under pressure from the largest ephedra manufacturer, Metabolife. Craig McDonald is director of Texans for Public Justice.
Members of the governor's staff have claimed that they encouraged Mr. Archer to, quote, enter a dialogue with Metabolife and the ephedra industry.
McDonald says Governor Bush's staff stepped in after Metabolife hired one of the governor's most prolific fundraisers as a lobbyist. Over a few crucial weeks in the fall of 1998, the lobbyist and Metabolife executives gave some $40,000 to the Bush campaign. In early 1999, Texas settled on a warning label for ephedra products. In Washington, in February 2003, President Bush's Department of Health and Human Services responded to the death of Steve Beckler by releasing a government report on ephedra's risks and proposing a new warning label. The government also solicited comment on whether ephedra presents a significant or unreasonable risk of illness or injury. Under the Dietary Supplements Act, that finding could trigger a ban on ephedra products. The ban is still considered a long shot, but ephedra manufacturers are prepared. They're already selling weight loss products with other herbs that have the same effect as ephedra. Their marketing pitch is that the products are ephedra-free. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Washington.